If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right now we're happy to be joined by Rakeem Nunez-Rochez, Chiefs defensive lineman. We call him Nacho, but Nacho, how's everything going, man?
Everything's going great. Good morning. Good morning.
All right, so last time we had you on the Chiefs Player Show last year, we were talking about your fiance. We had her on FaceTime so she could watch you do the Chiefs Player Show. She's in the Air Force. You guys are planning your wedding, and it's going to be next year. But you were telling me before we started the show that the Air Force might have had some different plans. They almost kind of messed up the schedules. Everything good, though?
Oh, yes, sir. She called me. She was mad. She said, let me tell you what happened. They tried to give me flight school the 3rd through the 26th. Our wedding's on the 24th. She was like, that's not going to happen. So she talked to her chain of commands, and everything got worked out.
Okay, so were you very hands-on in the planning, or did you just let her pick everything, or did you have a lot to do as far as all the wedding planning? How involved were you?
I will say this. I'll never take advice from my teammates again.
All of them said,
yeah, just leave it on her. She doesn't want you to do anything. That was a lie. My fiance wanted me very involved. I helped with the coloring, some of the decoration, decor, helped picking out the wedding planner, the photographer, videographer. I did a lot of things for the males. I helped with the suits, accessories, everything. So I was very hands-on and involved in the wedding. I loved it, though.
Throw a teammate under the bus. Who gave you bad advice here? Because we got. Was there anyone in particular?
Because all of them that's married.
Okay, all right. See, the thing that I was told before I got married was the trick as a groom is, you have to not really have any opinions, but act like you care. Like the trick is, you can't say I don't care, whatever you want, because then it seems like you're not involved. But so if she comes to you and says, "Well, do you like this one or this one?" You got to act really interested and go, "Well, which one do you like better?" And then when she says, "Oh yeah, that's the one I like better too," I was going to say the same thing, and then you're good, right? Did you think that would have worked?
Yeah, you figured it out. But the one thing about my pretty lady, she knows when I'm BSing.
Okay.
She was like, "Yeah, you're not really into it." So that wouldn't work too long for me.
Okay.
And so let's talk about where the team is right now. Obviously, you guys have had a tough last month or so, but here it is right here. Raiders, Chiefs, December, with first place on the line. Most people will sign up for that. And despite the losing streak, you guys win these next few games, then you're division champs again. And so coming back home to Arrowhead Stadium, maybe kind of give us an idea of what the mindset is, knowing that you guys, your backs are against the wall, but if you win, you're in. You control your own destiny.
That's the biggest thing. You know, we have it right here within our reach, and just going out there and dominating. I know we're going to be back at Arrowhead. Lately, the atmosphere may up and down. Sometimes they're rocking with us, sometimes they're against us. So we can't really go with that. You know, it's all about who's in this building right now. That's what's going to make the big difference.
They always say, you know, when you hit adversity as a team, you gotta kind of close ranks, right? You gotta tighten that huddle up a little bit. Is that what's going on? Are you seeing that right now with the team? That, hey man, it's us against the world right now.
Oh yes, most definitely. People leaning on each other. Everybody's holding each other accountable, trying to raise the level of play.
Now, I was looking at your Twitter account, and I think you sent a tweet out that, and you basically summed up how I felt after that first Raiders game, because it seemed like there was four or five different times that game ended, and you said, your tweet was, "I still can't believe there was four totally different innings in one game. Never have I ever." And I still can't figure out what happened, but take us back to that first game, because this is a rematch. I mean, had you ever experienced anything like that in football?
I never witnessed it. I've never been involved in it. It was ridiculous to go out there and have so many different scenarios and field play. It was hard, because you had to keep reestablishing, all right, we're going to do this, and then another call happened. So now you have to play that situation. It was mind-boggling.
And see, football's so much about emotion, and it's hard to control your emotions, because if you think you won, and then you think you won again, and then you got to keep having to get up. Was that how tough was it to try to keep re-energizing, to try to get that last out to win the game?
It was very hard, because, you know, in that point of time, you're thinking, I'm giving everything for this last play, everything I got. And then it's another play. So now you're reducing yourself. Now I'm giving everything I got for this play. then it's another penalty. So it's like mentally you have to keep relapsing and keep digging in that jar. But you putting out everything you got because you're thinking this is the last play. I'm putting it all on the line. And then they asked for another one. So it was just like, it was like off-season training. Give me that one more rep. That one more rep. So it was just digging in that tank.
See, and you strike me, one of the reasons that I really enjoy watching you play is you're a high-motor guy. You have a lot of energy. Every time you make a tackle, we know you made the tackle. You're going to make sure everybody knows. I love that about you, the way you play. But I always think about defensive linemen. For example, last weekend, I know it was frustrating for you guys when you'd force a third and long, then they'd convert, and you're on the field for three more plays, and they had the, you know, those long drives. That's got to wear you down as a defensive lineman. How do you dig, and how do you guys how do you process that when you're on the field in a frustrating situation like that where you just can't get off the field?
I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, don't get frustrated at that time. See how you can fix it.
Yeah.
And although we were doing what we wanted to do on first and second down, we weren't taking care of it on third. That means we got to give a pass rush, you know, so you can't just look in our secondaries. How can we get better? How can we help them help us? Mm-hmm. So we just come together.
When you look back at that first Raiders game, and you know it was a shootout up and down the field, and we talked about the ending, and you get ready, you guys know each other so well as opposing teams and rivals. What are some of the things that you think that you guys can do better up front against this team this time around?
Completely dominate. This game will go as the front seven go. O-line, D-line has to dominate. Once you shut down the bigs, it's fair game. We have all the athletes. We have all the talent. But once you take them out the pitchers, we're here.
You know, Andy Reid, yesterday, after he announced the suspension for Marcus Peters, he said it several times, I've got a good locker room. I've got a good locker room. You're on that defense, and you know it's not just one man. It's a team. What was the mood of the locker room? What was your reaction when you heard that news and maybe what the message was sent to the team?
To be honest with you, no comment.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then for the front seven, right, you guys can make their job a lot easier. And so do you take that upon yourself personally, like, hey, we can make up for that by getting after the quarterback and not giving the quarterback as much time to look downfield?
Oh, yeah. We definitely take pride in that. There's times where I just wreak all havoc and I take out the guard and the fullback and I don't even make the play. But it's just freeing up the other guys to make plays. It's not always about you. It's a team sport, you know. So we take that on our shoulders. Everything that we can do to help our secondary and our backs, you know, play better or play faster, that's what we're going to do.
We saw a lot of Rodney Hudson. He was a Chief for a long time, and now he's one of the best centers there on the Raiders offensive line. I know you go up against different guys, but Rodney Hudson, when you go up against him and watch him on film, what makes him one of the better centers in the league?
He's savvy, very savvy, aggressive, and he's a vet. So he has knowledge of what's going on. He kind of eliminates certain things. So he played tendencies. So he's smart. But as long as you get on riding the head early, it'll be a good game.
So one of the things off the field we were talking about before we started this interview, I found out from a source that you have a little side business, which is pretty interesting to me, which is you breed dogs? You breed rare dogs. Is this correct? Can you explain this for me?
Yes, sir. So the puppies that I do breed, Frenchies are well known, but certain colors, blue, chocolate fawns, or the chocolate tri, blue tri, very hard to come by, very hard. So I go out to different countries, the UK. One of my puppies came from Puerto Rico. So different continents to get these puppies because they're not here.
Okay.
They're very hard to find, and that's what I'm working on right now.
So how did this start? So how did you get interested in this?
To be honest with you, it's something I've been saying since I was nine. I've always said I've had a kennel. And, you know, I kept saying it as I got older. I went to school. I was biological science, minor in chemistry, and that was all to have the knowledge of being a vet, take care of my dogs. So I always had this in the play. It was just when was I going to be able to do it.
So what's a Frenchie? I don't know what that is. Is that like a French poodle or
a French bulldog?
French, okay. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yeah, my bad.
Okay.
So I have a Boston Terrier, and my wife, when I met her, she worked in a vet's office. She loves animals, and we have cats and dogs and everything else. So a French bulldog. Like, why do you like French bulldogs? I love my Boston Terrier, and sometimes they get mistaken for one another. But tell me about a French bulldog and why that's the dog that you like.
I love big aggressive dogs, but with the Frenchie, you get best of both worlds. They're hyper at times. They're loving. They're their own characters. You can sit there and watch them and play and laugh at them. But then there's times where they can cuddle. They can lay down. But they're very, how can I say, they can go anywhere. Houses, condos, apartments. So it's good for living. You don't have to worry about when somebody receives your puppy that if they relocate to a different place, they can't take their dog with them because of the breed restrictions or because of the size. With them, you know that they're going to have a companion for a lifetime.
But there's a lot to know about this. A lot of knowledge you had to have, like you said, with your degree, what you studied and everything else. So, like, what are some of the things that you do that maybe people don't know about? They just hear breeding dogs and think it's easy to do, and obviously you put a lot of work into it and a lot of preparation, right?
Oh yes, I actually talked to a couple of people, and I have a mentor, Buddy Green, that sold me one of my best Frenchies, and he teaches me the DNA of the dogs. So when you get your Frenchie, they show you what's in their DNA. They show you what colors they hold, what colors they won't produce, and they show you the bloodline. He's just teaching me how to break that down, and also the health risk that comes with the Frenchies.
So you have these dogs. How many of them do you have that you breed right now? You have to take care of all of them?
Oh, yeah. I have to take care of all of them, but it's fun. It's nothing I haven't did. I remember being in college in a two-bedroom apartment with five big pit bulls. So it was, yeah, and the person I rented from was my vet. So she allowed it. So it's nothing I haven't done before. I'm just dealing with smaller dogs. But right now I have three, and I have one on the way coming from UK, and then I will take from their litter and keep going.
You get close with them? Do you get close with the dogs?
Yeah. Very close. Yeah. Those are my kids. Yeah. I love them.
So are you going to breed any for your teammates? Are your teammates already interested in this? Is this something that might get popular in the club and in the locker room?
Oh, yeah. A lot of them love it. It's just sometimes a lot of them don't want to spend that money.
Well, what are we talking about here? Let's be honest. Yeah. Someone out there say, boy, I'd like to have a Frenchie. What are we? How deep in the pockets do we have to go?
Well, I have a pup that go for my lower end clientele. So my little one, Draco, her pups range from 4 to 8,500. But my calico and my chocolate tri, her puppies range from 10,000 and up.
So basically, you got a Cadillac or a Frenchie. I don't know which one I'd have to. I might have to probably the same mileage. I don't know.
I see. If I'm going to pay that much for a dog, I think he needs to be able to drive. You know, drive my car for me. You know.
Right. All right. So let's get back to football for you. You've become a popular player. You know, and you're getting settled into your career as a Kansas City Chief. What's that been like for you? Because I've enjoyed talking to you in the past when you're first making the team and making a name for yourself. But now, you know, you got your feet on the ground, you know what your place is in the NFL, and you've made it. How have you acclimated to life as an NFL player?
I don't know yet, because I still feel like I'm always adjusting. I feel like I'm always trying to find a way to be better as far as just giving time to my body, giving time to the playbook. So I still feel like I'm adjusting. I'm not a rookie anymore. I do have wisdom, but I still feel like every day I try to find things to be better at. So I'm still adjusting.
How frustrating is it for you personally, the way the season's gone? First the five wins, and everyone saw the Super Bowl contenders, then the struggles, and like you said, you know, the fans can get up and down and everything else. How do you maintain consistency and keep your mind right and not let the outside influences distract you?
I was built for this. I mean, coming from a third world country, then going to a college where you went, we went 11-2, next year went 0-12, and then went 1-11. I was still out there balling like we was undefeated. So it's something that's in you. You know what I'm saying? You can't teach that. So I try to take it out there on the field and hope everybody, you know, follow my lead.
You mentioned that. That always puts it into perspective, coming from a third world country. People might think that what they're going through right now is a struggle or something like that. That's perspective, right?
Yes, sir.
You able to dig from that?
Oh, yes. Not at all. I mean, just when I think about the times of groceries, I can go here. I can order offline, Walmart.com. I can, you know, pull up and people put my groceries in the car. Back then at home, walking down the street, trying to find mangoes, sugar canes, you know, climbing trees, trying to pick food sources, and then waiting for the rain to come to fill up our water bins so we can drink. That was hard. Mm-hmm. That's the struggle. We got it made here. Like, you can't tell me that what's going on right now is hard. That's why I'm still able to love and enjoy what I'm doing, because I've been in hard.
Man. Great perspective. Now, I'll wrap it up with my final question. You've had a chance to go through a couple of chapters of this Chiefs and Raiders rivalry. You know what it means to fans, what it means to the organization. What's it mean to you now when you think about playing in the Chiefs and Raiders rivalry like you're going to be on Sunday?
It means a lot to me. I know how much it means to my team. I know how much it means to this, you know, city. Just taking on what everybody expects. I mean, I love those expectations. At first, I didn't know what it meant to have the rivalry between, you know, the Raiders and the Broncos, but I know now. I am fully aware, and I love it. It's a savvy game. It gets a little personal, but hey, may the best team win.
We see it in the AFC West, man. We got people snatching chains off other people's necks. You're not going to try anything like that on Sunday, right?
Oh, no. I'm going to stay between the whistle, yeah. But I'm going to get out there.
Okay. Do you wear a chain on the field?
No, sir. Just earrings.
All right, good.
Nobody can get to those.
Nah.
Just stay away from Akeem Talib's. I don't know. He might. All right, man. All right, Nacho, man. We appreciate you. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
That's Raheem Nunez-Rochez. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP.